VCE History Option 1991. As a part of history, we are required to study and research the history of a local organisation. I have chosen the CFA, Dandenong, and today I will be interviewing Mr. Ken Talbot, ex-foreman and ex-board member of the CFA. Hopefully he'll be able to give me a chance to get a clearer view of general information about the fire brigade and change over the years.
In your heart.
Okay, I'll start off first by asking how long you've been with the fire brigade and with the CFA, the authority, and what you can tell me about your stay.
Well, I've been in the Dandenong Fire Brigade just over 45 years, and in that period I've held office, senior volunteer officer, since 1953. To 1990. That's the longest serving period of any foreman in the Dandenong Brigade, and I think it would nearly be as long a period as anybody serving as foreman in any of the other brigades in the state.
That's a long time.
And, as well as being fairly busy brigade, I've served on the executive of the Victorian Urban Fire Brigades Association for over 30 years, been twice state president, and for 9 years I represented the Urban Fire Brigades Association volunteers as a member of the Country Fire Authority for 9 years. I've seen the Dandenong Brigade really increase in responsibility and membership and career permanent staff firefighters and officers. The Dandenong Brigade was a full volunteer brigade up till 1953, and I think a couple of years prior to that Dandenong was growing at such a rate that it became very difficult for the volunteers to cope with the demand of the growing city, particularly the industrial areas, when General Motors and International and Hines and Commonwealth Engineering and some other very large industry was set up in Dandenong after the last war. And as Victoria developed in the outer urban areas and in the provincial cities and large towns after the war, when immigration was increasing and the state was being extensively populated, we were also a very busy brigade in fighting the major bushfires and plains fires, that's grass fires, that occurred in the state in the 1950s and 60s, in particular the 60s, the Gippsland fires and numerous other fires that ravaged Victoria in that period. And we were always one of the first brigades to be rolled around the state wherever they were occurring.
So, was it like the population increase that really brought the brigade along, like you said in 53?
We had to, and then the load became so great. We were doing, we'd started road rescue work in that early period also, and so we approached the city council and we said that we would have to, we needed support to go to the authority and ask for permanent officers to be stationed at Dandenong to assist us, and that happened in 1953. And in that year when they came, it required a classification change of the brigade, a higher grading to A class, and we lost our, in that transition, the brigade that goes over to assistance of permanent officers loses the rank structure of captain and lieutenant, and the senior volunteer officer then becomes the foreman.
Yep.
So the rank structure from changed for the brigade in 53. Our classification was upgraded, and extensions put on the old station that was on the corner of Robinson Street and Walker Street.
Yep.
And then I think 4 years after that we had a further increase of professional staff and in the rank of firefighters, and they increased the strength of the brigade from 25 registered members up to 30, and with the additional ability to hold on the books 10 reserve firemen.
Wow. And the change, seeing you were working with these men, was the change when they were given more responsibility, was the change in their attitude? Did their attitude change? Did they, I don't know, the overall involvement, did people become more...
Yes, well, of course, the other thing that we had to do was increase our training, and we had to be trained in some of the industrial aspects, chemical and gases and fuels and all the things that those dangerous industrial materials that were coming with the massive increase in industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that put a further workload on the volunteers.
And when you started, was how long? When you started, were you being like, were you aware of all this chemical change, blah blah blah, or was it completely different? Like, are you saying that when you started, you weren't trained in the chemicals, and what was it like when you started compared to how it was in,
well,
say 53?
We were. We've always been a very active, highly trained brigade. We certainly had some very good officers, that's volunteer officers, and the captain and lieutenant. And we were always a brigade that was trained to the standard to cope with in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when the permanent officers came, they were two great officers, in the person of Station Officer Dave Foss and Station Officer Frank Allacy, who, and quite a number of the members of the brigade knew personally at that time. I knew them certainly. And so the training of the brigade was upgraded extensively.
Mm. Yep. And what do you think of the brigade now? Do you think it's come along really well? Do you like everything that's happening? Or have you got any objections? Or is there anything you don't like? Anything you don't agree with?
No, I'm very proud of the Dandenong Fire Brigade because I've travelled Australia extensively in the fire services, and I'm familiar, very familiar with the fire services in other states. That's Western Australia and South Australia and New South Wales and Tasmania. And I see that the Dandenong Fire Brigade is just as efficient as any brigade I've seen anywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
It had to keep upgrading itself to be able to cope with the responsibilities and on the out before we went to the inclusion in ranks of the brigade of the permanent staff of the Country Fire Authority. We only had a pumper and was probably one of the best. Well, it was the best pumper in the Country Fire Authority service at that time, and it was one of the 1938 Dodgers, and they were the biggest pump in the service at that time, and a tanker. And now, of course, we've been upgraded to a new station. It would be the most up-to-date station in the Country Fire Authority service and the largest.
Mm.
And today we've become the busiest fire brigade in the service of the Country Fire Authority throughout the state of Victoria, not only in fire suppression and prevention, but also in road rescue, which has become extremely demanding to such an extent that even the volunteers are on roster.
Mm.
And there are three rostered crews to ease the workload. There are times when the incidents that they attend have quite traumatic effects on the personnel, both volunteers and the career firemen and officers, which is.
And how were the volunteers called to a fire in the earlier days compared to now?
Well, when I joined, it was just the bell, the fire bell, and if you were lucky enough to hear the bell, you got to the fire. And of course, in those years, the young fellows, they didn't have motor cars like they've got now, and I used to ride my bike to the fires. And we used to have to go on hearing the bell, never mind what day or time of the day or night or early hours of the morning it was, we'd have to go to the station first to find out where the fire was. And we had a station keeper who lived on the premises with his family, and he would always write on the blackboard before he left where the fire was. And fortunately, we had another fireman who was the secretary of the brigade living across from the fire station, and he was nearly always there to turn out with the station keeper. And you know, you could ride anything up to a mile or more on your bike. At night time, if it was a goer, you could always see where it was and get there pretty quick.
How did you get involved? Why were you interested, was it people more or less told they should do it, or did it interest you, or did you just want to help, or what made you do the? I mean, to ride a mile on your bike, I mean, you must have really.
Well, I was grew up in an area in Victoria where we certainly had our share of fires, particularly bushfires in the summer. And where I grew up in Myrtleford, the northeast part of Victoria, where there were thousands upon thousand acres of pine plantations, and my father was a fireman, and my grandfather was a fireman at Beechworth, so I guess it was in the family. And that's how I, when I came down here, left home to come down to serve my apprenticeship, I joined the fire brigade. I was only, well, I was 16, just under 17.
Requirements have changed heaps, haven't they? Because you have to be 20 or something, don't you? You have to have year 12 and...
His career's...
Oh, is it? Oh, right.
Yeah, well, we... As long as I can remember, we've always had a junior brigade. And it was only in recent years that the Act of the Country Fire Authority was changed to allow juniors to become members in a brigade. And before the Act covered it, we brigades used to have these young boys, and they called them, in some brigades they had various names, some called them the auxiliaries, and some did call them junior firefighters. And then when the Act changed to include it, you could take them in at 11 years old, and they were in two categories, 11 to 14, and then 14 to 17. And that's how it is today, still. And they're not allowed to go to fires, they're not allowed to ride on the appliances, but they are trained in fire ground activities. The officers put them through the trucks and show them the gear, and they can operate a pump under supervision, just as a training exercise. And of course, they certainly take part in the junior competitions throughout the state. Competition track.
So that then help out, like. They know heaps before they, like, if they want to further, they want to go on.
Yeah, and the state championships run each year for them, the same as it is for the seniors. Yeah. And they have their annual state championships in the various provincial cities around the state, like the senior brigade members do.
Hmm. And the volunteers today, how are they called out?
Oh, we're a bit well off today. We went from listening to the bell, we went then to telephone, and we had a telephone on with the bell over the bedroom door. And all we had was the bell at first, and that got the alarm of fire into the home. But you still had to go to, the bell would ring, just like a telephone. But there was no voice over, so we still had to go to the fire station
to find out.
So the third upgrade was they put a phone in next with the bell, and when the bell went and wake you up or got you out of bed, you then went to the phone, and you were told over the phone where the fire was. And now, of course, we're a bit more modern now. We've got pagers, and we're called and directed. From the operations room at the station.
And all the volunteers have pages? They all have pages?
Yes.
Or? Yeah?
The registered volunteers, the reserves don't.
Yep.
They've all got pages.
Do you think that today's economy has a large impact on the volunteers?
Today's economy. Well, it all costs money, and I think that today, with the economic climate the way it is, some volunteers would be finding it difficult too. Because they all got motor cars now. I mean, nobody rides a bike much now. And they've got to keep them on the road, and they've got to put the petrol in them, And in a brigade like Daniel's busy is standing on, they would be, it would be costing them a reasonable amount to keep petrol if you're, you know, chasing the fires and wear and tear in the car.
Yeah. And so the change in, say, what you wear, what they wear when they turn out to the fires.
Oh, well, we're much better off today than we were years ago. We weren't issued, the volunteers weren't issued with actual firefighting clothing. You wore your own sort of work clothes, but today it's a very different matter. We're very well provided for. We don't get our boots given supplied to us, but they're supplied with a token amount you pay, and so you can own your own boots. You're issued with three with a complete dress uniform, and then the brigade provides a firefighting uniform, the helmet and the firefighter's coat and trousers, and boots are subsidised. We're as well dressed today as the professional fireman, but it's not all provided free, whereas the uniforms and firefighting clothing, protective clothing, are issued to the helmet.
And so when you used to turn out, like, years ago, what, you just wore, like, what you had on, your work clothes and boots, or there was nothing you had to have? Did you have to have a hat, or...?
Well, we used to have helmets, and they used to be carried on the truck, and they were the old black Bakelite helmet, and they were very heavy, and the overalls were carried on the truck, and you virtually got dressed at the scene by taking equipment off the truck. And then, of course, now we have it with us. They have it in the car.
It makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier.
But it has to be, really, doesn't it?
Get into action a lot quicker.
Yeah. Okay. I was also going to ask about the CFA, the action regulations that come through in 1944 or 1953. I'm not sure on the dates. Has it changed? Have you got anything to say, or has it changed, or what can you tell me about?
In the early days, the Country Fire Authority was known as the Country Fire Brigades Board, the CFBB. In 1944, the Act was changed, and the Country Fire Authority today, as we know it, was formed. It's a state government statutory authority, and it acts and carries out its duties and throughout the community under the Country Fire Authority Act, incorporated in 1944.
And also, I wanted to ask a little bit on...
That's the registration.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's the registration.
Yeah.
How far out?
That's right, no, 1894.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, yep. Got that from Denzel. Safety and regulations, like these days, I know that the firefighters, they carry gloves and everything for such things as AIDS and all that sort of thing. When you started, were you aware of all that sort of thing? I mean,
no.
Disease passing through blood
no.
or
no.
nothing like that? You didn't?
No, I was in the first crew we ever formed here in the brigade in road rescue and industrial accident. And I was number one driver in those days. And I can still recall the getting covered in blood, even lying in blood inside a crashed vehicle trying to get people out. And of course there was none of this AIDS or anything like that in those days. Mm. And of course today it's a very different matter. They even have injections in our boys, and you've got to go about things in an entirely different way. You've got to wear a lot more protective clothing, gloves, and of course after an incident you're decaminated, contaminated.
Yeah.
And when you get back to the station, you've got to go through a wash, particularly if you've been involved in a chemical incident. And we're even that geared up today that we can rig up the equipment at the scene of the accident and decontaminate them as they come away from the scene by putting them through a spray booth. We set that up and put the water in from the pumps, and you walk through it and you get all the chemical or whatever it might be that you've been.
That's on the scene. That's straight after the fire or whatever.
Yeah.
And also, going back again, people's reaction, like when the fire brigade, well, you weren't there in the very beginning, but like when it was sort of coming around, it was becoming a more. Everyone was aware of it more. What was people's reaction? Like, not people saw the truck going through the street, do they get excited, or was there much media about it, or was it, if there's a fire, was it a big thing, the Dandenong Fire Brigade did this, blah, 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 or was it just really quiet?
The Dandenong Brigade has always been held with very high respect in the city of Dandenong, because we've always always cope with whatever incident that came up, and they've always been really sort of top people in the brigade. For the main reason being, probably if there's not too many people in the community give volunteer service or service for nothing today, and there's got to be something about a person to be able to do it anyway, so they're usually people of, you know, held in respect and pretty high regard, and they've got a great comradeship exists in the brigade.
Yeah.
And the majority, I would say 95% at least of the professional staff today would have been ex-volunteers. They've been in a brigade somewhere throughout the country fire authority service as a volunteer.
Yeah. Okay, that's about all I have to really ask you. I haven't got heaps and heaps of questions. I just wanted to sort of get an outline. And I'd just like to thank you for your time talking to this lovely tape.
Uh-huh.
And was there anything else you wanted to say about the brigade, or there was sort of anything?
Oh, I could go on for hours. I mean, you know, you haven't touched on the competition side of it yet. And,
do you want to talk a little bit about that?
The upgrading of the equipment, we didn't finish that either.
Oh, okay. No.
Well,
I'd love to hear about
as
it.
As I said earlier, we only, when we came to the new station on the Princes Highway, compared with the equipment we had on the old station, we now have two pumpers, we have an aerial appliance, and two road rescue units, radio communications van, a hazmat van. You know, we've got that many vehicles now that we lose count of them sometimes. But that highlights the fact that the equipment that the authority has had to locate at Dandenong is an indication of the growth of the city over the years, and the authority has certainly coped with its responsibilities here in Dandenong as it has anywhere else in Victoria. And of course we have a large permanent side of the brigade now. Probably 40 or 50 men sort of on the station, that including the volunteers and the staff at times. Mm. We do a lot of support too to the surrounding brigades. We've always turned out on support.
And you're talking to you before about road accidents and things like that, seeing you're involved, they're involved with that a lot. Years ago and now, we'll compare it, was there any, like, do you have, is there now help? Do people, like councillors, things like that, to talk the guys through? And was there years ago? How do people cope or deal with it? Do people walk off or leave?
That,